last summer on a hike in Vermont, I was on this trail through the woods surrounding a mountain lake. And it was one of those trails that's so narrow you have to step aside to make room if somebody comes along from the other direction. And, you know, usually you both smile and one person thanks the other for yielding the path, and it's a pleasant but entirely forgettable little exchange. On that particular trek, one brief encounter has stayed with me, the one with a fellow hiker who was completely naked. From KERA in Dallas, this is Think. I'm Chris Boyd. It seems like it could have been weird, but honestly, it really wasn't. Our interaction played out exactly as it would have if he'd had clothes on, although I did find myself hoping he was using a good sunscreen. And later I thought, well, good for him. After years of hearing friends share happy memories of bearing it all in the wilderness, Gloria Liu started to wonder if she was missing out. But the social conditioning that makes it hard for us to ditch our clothing outside the privacy of our own homes is hard to shed, which, if you think about it, is odd. Why do we feel like we have to wear clothes all the time, and would we be happier if we could make some exceptions now and then? Gloria Liu is a freelance journalist whose recent essay for Outside Magazine is titled One Woman's Wholesome Mission to Get Naked Outside. Gloria, welcome back to Think.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's so nice to be back on.
Your boyfriend shared this happy memory with you from when he was 4 years old. What does he remember doing that gave him so much joy?
Yeah, it's actually one of his earliest memories. And he was running on a beach, on Myrtle Beach, in South Carolina. And he was totally naked, as kids are often apt to do. And he was just running and jumping up in the air. And he was holding a plastic bag up in the air. And he was imagining as he jumped that the bag was, you know, sort of holding him and letting him float. And he distinctly remembers the feeling of the wind and the sun on his skin. And it's a really happy memory for him. And I loved hearing him tell me about it.
You had this perfectly happy childhood, but you don't have memories like that one.
Correct. Yeah, I didn't grow up in a family where, you know, we ran around naked as little kids. My sister and I were fully clothed, which, you know, I think is the experience of many people. But as a result, you know, I don't think I grew up with a lot of comfort around the idea of being nude in front of other people.
It is interesting the way different families kind of settle on what is normal. In ninth grade, I remember going home with a friend after school to work on some project, and one of her older sisters walked into their room from the shower with nothing on, which my friend saw as the natural result of like living in an all-girl family. But I too had only sisters, and we were basically raised as never nudes in our house.
Yeah, same here. I mean, it's funny. I actually remember for this story, I had texted my mom and asked, yeah, hey, I remember there's like a photo of my sister and I in the bath naked. Do you know where that is? And she just denied its existence, which is, but I know I've seen it before because it's in my memory, but that pretty much encapsulates, it sounds like, both our parents' attitudes toward nudity when we were growing up.
Were your parents, like, were they really into like modesty, or just nudity wasn't something that like crossed their minds around the house?
I think it was both. I think they didn't grow up being nude in front of other people. And so, you know, it wasn't something that really they thought about at all. But also, I did grow up, I think, in a family that valued modesty, particularly for girls, you know, as me and my sister, she's younger than I am. But, you know, growing up, I think my family had fairly what you might call traditional values. Yeah, my mom would, you know, say when I was a teenager that my shorts were too short, or, you know, I shouldn't wear a shirt because it was too low cut. So I think that was kind of the mindset that I grew up around.
So another important part of your identity that people should understand is that you are a physically intrepid, outdoorsy kind of person. You have not, it sounds like, been somebody to let fear get in the way of you having adventures. Did your discomfort with being naked outside feel like a contradiction for you?
Oh, what an interesting question. Yeah, it did, actually, because as you point out, I'm somebody who does sports that I think a lot of people might think are risky. You know, I am an avid mountain biker. I ski at the resort in the backcountry fairly aggressively. And yeah, I think that I've always thought of myself as a bold person, and also somebody who doesn't particularly subscribe to, you know, traditional ideas of women should dress modestly and, you know, be anything but exactly what they want to be. So yeah, I think that this my modesty around my clothing and just general kind of self-consciousness around being nude did seem at odds with everything else about my personality, which is, to be loud, to be outspoken, to be brave, to be bold. And yeah, I think it did cause a bit of cognitive dissonance for myself when I felt that discomfort.
So you, over the years, you found yourself on occasion with friends who wanted to do something naked outdoors, like skiing. And before we talk more about your response to that, naked skiing seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, it's funny. It's in skiing as well as a lot of outdoor sports. It's interesting. There is a rich history of naked traditions, and I think that it comes actually from the roots of nudism itself, which I don't know if most people know, but a lot of modern day nudists call themselves naturists instead. And the reason they do so is because at the root of this idea is that it's good for us to be naked in the outdoors. It's healthy. It brings us closer to nature. And I think that's actually where, the roots of modern, where the roots of modern or naked skiing comes from, naked hiking, which is related to the anecdote you told at the beginning of this session. But yeah, it does seem like potentially a bad idea, but everybody I've spoken to only has positive things to say about it. They do often say it is very cold,
I mean, you don't
but
want to
they also
fall,
say
right?
exactly. They also, yeah, they also say it's very fun though, and they do say you should try not to fall.
So it didn't bother you that your friends wanted to do this when you didn't. Did they give you a hard time at all about keeping your clothes on?
No, so the most salient memory I have of this is a time that some friends and I were backcountry skiing. We were staying overnight in a backcountry hut, and in the middle of the night, some of them, got a wild hair, stripped down naked, and skied off the roof. And we were all having a really fun time. I was cheering them on. I was taking photos of them, and nobody gave me a hard time. But I remember at the time feeling very much literally sidelined from the experience, like I was on the sides watching someone else have this really fun experience that I wasn't having. And I feel like that experience actually really encapsulates how I felt every time somebody has told me about a time they mountain biked nude in the full moon or, jumped naked into an alpine lake. I felt like I was being sidelined from some very fun, interesting life experience. And I didn't like that feeling.
To be clear, you don't have any particular shame about your body, right? That wasn't the source of this.
Right. I personally don't. I don't have, any kind of particular body image issues. I know a lot of people do, but yeah, for me, it was just something I had never done before, with one exception. And for the most part, I just always imagined it would be, scary and uncomfortable. And I don't like things that are uncomfortable. So, or I don't like feeling socially uncomfortable. So in my imagination, it was something that would be socially uncomfortable.
Well, you share that exception in this article, and I get it. Can you tell that story? You were on this backpacking trip in Colorado. You come upon a hot spring that everybody understands to be clothing optional. What went down?
So yeah, what happened was, we had actually camped overnight, and some friends and I were going to go to this hot spring in the morning. And in the morning, I tried to convince everybody that we should try going into this hot spring naked because then we wouldn't have wet bathing suits to pack out. For me, it was a totally practical consideration. And from my understanding, I had convinced the group that we were going to do this. And everybody was breaking down camp, so I got up to the hot spring before everybody else did. I stripped down naked and got in. And then all my friends came up and no one else got naked. Everybody else got in their bathing suit. And to this day, I still don't understand really what happened. I actually recently recapped the memory with a friend, and he was also befuddled, and he was like, I think we just had some kind of a misunderstanding. And we all just sat there, and I was the only one naked. The water's crystal clear. It was so awkward. And I never got naked again, I think, for pretty understandable reasons. I mean, that's a nightmare that a lot of people have, right? That they're naked in front of the classroom with in everybody else's clothes. Except for me, it was happening in real life, and I was in this beautiful alpine environment.
Right. And it wasn't just friends, right? There was like some strange dude there who was staring at you.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, a couple guys walked up, and they stayed totally clothed and just sat by the side of the hot spring. And frankly, they just watched, and it was awful. We were probably up there for about 30 minutes, but it felt like an eternity.
I think maybe there's also sometimes this assumption on the part of some people that if you are naked, you are inviting people to look at you. In the same way, I think some people think if someone has tattoos, the rest of the world is free to comment on them.
Yeah, I do think that there may be that popular belief, or at least we believe that there's that popular belief, which is, a further deterrent for many of us, to not get naked, even in situations where it's kind of sanctioned, like a clothing optional hot spring. I think that drives a lot of hesitation and fear.
So, what made you start thinking maybe you wanted to try this again?
Well, so, that experience in the hot spring happened about 10 years ago, and I hadn't had a similar experience since. But in the ensuing years, I continued to watch other friends have fun adventures naked outdoors or hear stories about them. And one day I was listening to yet another one of these stories. It was my partner, Dan, and he was telling me about a time he had modeled nude for an art class to write a story for his college newspaper. And I just found myself having that same feeling of being sidelined and thinking, gosh, that sounds so fun. What a crazy thing to do. I wish I had stories like this. Why don't I have stories like this? And I just suddenly blurted out, wait a minute, what if I tried to become one of those naked people? And at first it was kind of a joke, but I pretty quickly thought, like, hey, like, why don't I try this? I've thought about this so many times, and it could be kind of a social experiment of sorts. So, yeah, I just sort of decided to embark upon a little bit of a journey, as kind of a fun experiment, just to see what would happen.
It's interesting to me that when you felt ready to try this again, you were in your 30s, because I think a lot of us think of naked adventures as like the province of very young adults, but we also lose some of our sensitivity to embarrassment as we get older, don't we?
Yeah, definitely. As I think I wrote in my story, I'm a little harder to embarrass now. Yeah, and I think that, the past decade has given me more self-confidence and comfort, maybe literal comfort in my own skin, and I'm probably more ready now to do this than I was in my 20s.
It's also strange that younger people, broadly speaking, you discovered are less comfortable getting naked than older folks right now.
Yeah, that was something I found in my research, which was interesting. I found a great New York Times piece that was kind of, honestly making fun of American millennial men because they're so much less comfortable being naked in gym locker rooms than their Gen X or Boomer generation counterparts. I also found some reading that said that even in Europe, younger Europeans are becoming less comfortable with nudity than they used to be, which is interesting because in Europe, naked beaches were so much more mainstream and nudity is more part of their culture. So, yeah, that's something that's happening to younger people for sure.
It's worth noting, Gloria, that especially younger folks have been raised in a culture where everybody understands at any moment, anybody we come in contact with can take a photo of us, can set up a live stream of us. Do you think this is a disincentive for people shedding their clothes in places where it otherwise might feel safe?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the reasons that I think younger people are less comfortable being naked is that smartphones are ubiquitous and anyone could take a photo of you and it could end up on social media or you could be a meme, become a meme. That's definitely one thing. The other reasons that I've read that people are less comfortable are we have potentially heightened body image issues because of all the imagery we're kind of bombarded with, not just in media, but social media. We see a lot of what researchers called idealized bodies. And that's basically, unattainably thin, beautiful, perfect bodies that are also probably airbrushed and filtered. And finally, there is, it's harder and harder, I think, in our modern day to separate nudity from sexuality. And, there's the proliferation of pornography. And there's a lot of increased sensitivity around just unclothed interactions too, because of the Me Too movement and everything. So I think for all of those reasons, it's becoming, harder and harder for us to feel as comfortable being naked and even in non-sexual settings.
Yeah, the Me Too thing is interesting. I suppose it's possible that someone choosing to be nude for their own pleasure could be perceived as somehow being sexually aggressive when that's not necessarily the intention.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. And for me personally, that was something I thought a lot about as I was going on my own little nude journey, was I had one ground rule that was important to me, which was that I w didn't expose myself to other people who basically didn't sign up for this, right? Like, I think I wanted to be respectful that not everybody is comfortable seeing or wants to see a stranger nude. And that's, in fact, like, indecent exposure is a criminal offense, and so for a reason, for good reason. And so I think it was important to me that I was either doing it somewhere where this space had been set aside as like a sanctioned safe space to be nude, or I was going to do it somewhere where I was very, very unlikely to be seen. And I would hope that, for anybody who decides to take this on as a journey in themselves, that they consider that as well as just, are you doing it somewhere where you're not going to make other people uncomfortable, basically?
We do have foundational stories in our culture around nudity and shame, too, right? Adam and Eve enjoyed this idyllic state of having no clothes on until they sinned, and then that caused them to realize they were naked, and then they felt terrible about themselves.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of cultural connections between nudity and shame, like that story, like Adam and Eve is a good story, and one in which I reference in my essay. But also, there's real situations in which if nude photos of you were leaked, or sexual photos of you were leaked, it would impact your career, your reputation. That's a real factor in life, and certainly it impacts how we feel about nudity. And I think it facilitates a connection between nudity and shame. And it was interesting. One of the folks I spoke to for my story was a researcher named Keon West at the he's a psychologist at Goldsmiths University of London. And yeah, he made that point that for a lot of our history, we've thought of nudity as something that's deviant, and in fact, many early psychological studies about the impacts of nudity were trying to find whether being exposed to nudity when we were young would lead to negative psychological impacts. But the interesting thing was that the studies actually found the opposite, was that exposure to nudity in non-sexual settings, safe non-sexual settings, actually had positive psychological impacts.
Positive in what regard? People feel better about their own bodies?
Yeah, that's one of the biggest upsides, I guess, of being nude in a non-sexual setting, is that it leads to improved body image. And as Dr. West explained it, again, we're kind of bombarded by images of idealized bodies. And what he found in his research was that exposure to quote unquote non-idealized bodies, or AKA normal bodies, countered those effects. They helped us realize, oh, actually, not everybody looks like a supermodel. Bodies can be round or wrinkled, or they can come with different abilities. And that's normal, and that actually causes us to look more favorably upon our own bodies.
And I think what's also interesting, you mentioned in the article that, the dream that we've all had where suddenly we realize we're naked and we have to, grab a trash can or something and sidle out of a room. In those dreams, it's always just us. It's a little more like your first experience in the hot spring. It's got to be a different thing when we're not the focus of attention because everybody's in a similar state.
Yeah, absolutely. As Dr. West put it, I really love this quote of his. He said, "There's not so much an inappropriate level of clothing as there is an inappropriate level of clothing for a situation." And that was something I really found in my experiment. So my first step basically on my journey was to go into a clothing optional hot spring and sit in it naked with other strangers who are naked. And I expected, this first moment that I disrobed to be really kind of terrifying, and I thought I was going to have to drum up all this courage to do it. And then when I walked up to the side of the hot spring, everybody in it was naked. And frankly, it was kind of take an underwhelming experience to take my clothes off. It just felt normal. And that kind of sense of, oh, this feels surprisingly normal, continued throughout my experiment, you know. And what I really learned was, when you're in a group of people that have all agreed that this is what we're doing, nudity becomes actually quite mundane. And that's a beautiful thing.
All right, I want to go to the phones. Our number is 1-800-933-5372. First up, let's speak with Tom in Arlington, Texas. Hi, Tom.
Hello. I was very interested in your speech because I am the co-founder of a nudist resort in northern Texas. I'm no longer involved with the management or operation of that place or shareholder anymore. But I think one of the things that I felt great about doing was to provide a place for ladies to be free of their clothing and just relax in a safe, secure environment.
Thank you so much for your call. Do you think, by the way, Gloria, that this, just anecdotally, is it easier for men to get naked in these contexts than women, broadly speaking?
Yeah, I mean, there's no research on that specifically, but generally, I do feel like men just are less apt to feel self-conscious about their bodies. And there's real social reasons for that. You know, again, like, there are many more sexualized images of women in popular media. And also, you know, there's real reasons that women feel less safe being nude in a lot of situations. Women get catcalled, they get harassed, they get assaulted. And so, yeah, I do think there's a lot more sensitivity around nudity for women. And Tom, I think I totally agree with you. I think in a way it's almost, as a woman, I mean, I felt like I had almost more to gain maybe than the average man, because it was kind of profound for me to be in a situation where it was safe for me to be naked, and I knew I wasn't going to be leered at, and I wasn't leered at. I wasn't, you know, treated any differently at all. I was treated with kindness and respect, and that was a pretty profound experience for me as a woman.
To your point from earlier, where your mom might say those shorts are too short, that top is too low cut, a lot of people socialize their daughters this way because the culture says it's not safe for women to wear revealing clothing.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the messaging we're given, whether through our loved ones or through other cultural messages. But yeah, that's exactly why I think being somewhere like that clothing optional resort, it was very interesting to me to go into it feeling like this could be a vulnerable situation, and then realize, oh, this is actually a safe situation. And that was actually one of the surprising outcomes of my experiment was, you know, because of the research I'd read, I did expect to come out with better body image, which I experienced. I felt like I looked more favorably on my own body, but I also kind of, you know, as maybe cheesy as it sounds, I left the experiment with kind of a renewed sense of optimism about human nature. You know, like, I was around all these strangers. I was in a, you know, potentially vulnerable situation, and it ended up being safe and welcoming. And that was very positive.
I love that you came out with those feelings, and that reality also made me think about the way that we invest a lot of mythological properties in wearing clothing, right? Somehow we feel safe and concealed when we have clothes on. It's just a tiny layer of fabric between us and the rest of the world.
Yeah, it's so interesting to say that. I mean, I think the word I used in my story was, when I took my clothes off, I felt soft and unarmored. But it was true. It was like, it made me realize, oh, when I, by virtue of not wearing clothing, it made me realize, like, oh, clothing is a way almost of covering my vulnerability. I feel more vulnerable without my clothing on. And then it made me think about, oh, what is it covering up? You know, I guess in my mind, I think it's covering up my imperfections. It's covering up the parts of my body that in the past I wasn't very fond of. And removing clothing, especially around other people, it was interesting. It had this kind of equalizing effect where, you know, nobody's wearing anything cooler than somebody else. Nobody's more covered than anybody else. We are literally like coming all the same. We're all the same right now. And I found that had this really interesting equalizing effect among me and all the strangers that I met at the hot spring.
what I love about that is that it's the same justification for why we wore uniforms in Catholic school.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting parallel.
So initially, I like this, you were going to set up a set, kind of a step-by-step desensitization training plan for getting comfortable. How did you, initially, how did you think that would play out?
Well, yeah, so coming from an athletic background, I kind of naturally think in terms of progression and training plans. And so I guess jokingly, but not jokingly, I called it my, you know, nudity training plan. And it had three steps that began with a beginner level exercise, which was to, you know, just get into a hot spring naked with strangers. And then my intermediate level exercise was to walk the walkways at this clothing optional hot spring resort, which I felt was worthy of its intermediate designation because it wasn't something everybody who came to this resort does. I mean, certainly some people do it. A lot of people will cover up as they're walking from pool to pool. So I thought, okay, it's not something everybody does. So this is a, you know, intermediate blue level exercise. And my advanced exercise, my graduation exercise, as I called it, would be an actual naked outdoor activity. And I chose a naked night hike with two of my very good girlfriends in the National Forest in Colorado. So, I thought that, frankly, it was going to be harder. I thought that graduating from, you know, sitting in a hot spring naked to walking naked on the pathways was going to take a lot of courage again. And I thought that, you know, I might need to, you know, do my beginner exercise on day one and then, you know, I wouldn't be brave enough till the next day. But funny enough, after I got out of the hot spring naked, I was drying off and I remember it was a really warm day. The sun was coming down and beating down on me. And then after I dried off, my towel was wet. So I would actually be colder walking to the next hot spring with a wet towel. So I just thought, oh, okay, well, for practical reasons, I guess I could just graduate now to my intermediate exercise. And I did. And again, it was just this, I mean, it felt lovely. I remember feeling the warm sun on my skin and there was like a light breeze and I just felt really, you know, as cliche as it may sound, it felt really free. And yeah, it didn't take this huge amount of courage to do it. It made me realize like, oh, there's actually just practical reasons for being naked right now too, which is to not be damp and cold.
Women's bathing suits in this country are pretty small. How different did it feel physically soaking in that hot spring without a bathing suit on than you think it would have if you'd been clothed?
Oh, I felt much better. you know, it's funny, actually. I'll admit that up to that point, I was also a person who was, I would say, lukewarm. no pun intended, about hot springs and hot tubs. And for me, it was always about getting out of the hot tub and hot spring afterwards. I associate it with being cold because I'm in a cold, wet bikini. But then I realized, oh, well, when you aren't wearing a bikini and you get out of a hot spring or a hot tub, you just dry off and then you're not cold.
You're good to go.
So it was a much better experience. And then it made me realize like, oh, this is why a lot of hot springs, especially in the wilderness, are clothing optional. I mean, besides the fact that people aren't going to see you, besides the other people at the hot spring, you're not going to be chilly afterwards and you don't have a cold bathing suit to pack out. And, you know, try to find a place for in your car. I mean, it's really much better.
Are there like signs posted that say this is clothing optional?
A lot of these hot springs, no. It's kind of just this tacit understanding. And yeah, I imagine it probably arose out of some of those practical concerns, but also maybe just, again, this seemingly natural connection between, for many people, being outdoors and being in their natural state.
And it's not like there's 7,000 people passing you by as you're soaking.
Right. A lot of these springs are, you know, they require a hike to get out there. They're kind of hidden from view. So yeah, there's kind of a sense of privacy and seclusion. And, you know, again, it's kind of understanding that, hey, if you're out there, you probably know that you might see people who aren't wearing any clothes.
Gloria, it would seem like everybody needs to feel physically and also emotionally safe in order to enjoy this experience. Did you think carefully about the friends you invited on this naked moonlight hike?
Yeah, I ended up reaching out to two of my very closest girlfriends. And it's interesting because they actually aren't really people who go nude outdoors very much either. And none of us had ever seen each other naked. But I knew that they were people who were open-minded and, more importantly, very loyal friends, because the thing about this hike was that it took place in February at night in Colorado. So it was going to be very, very cold. And by this point, I had a deadline, so it needed to happen. And quite frankly, the most important quality for a companion was that they were a good friend who was willing to do this. So, you know, they sort of rose to the occasion and joined me for this, even though it was probably not something they would have chosen to do in their own time.
I mean, I get pretty warm when I'm exercising vigorously in the cold, but February at night in Colorado, were you worried that just you wouldn't be physically comfortable enough to do it?
Yeah, that was actually the thing I was most worried about. It's funny, you know, I thought, again, another surprise, you know, I had thought that I might worry that it was awkward for the three of us being good friends who had never seen each other naked before, but I found myself being more nervous about the cold, and that was kind of what my mind was preoccupied with. But my friend and I had come up with a little bit of a plan based in part on some of our athletic experiences, which told us that if you exerted yourself pretty intensely, you would generate a lot of body heat. So we planned basically to put on all our thickest layers, including, you know, down puffies, and start our hiking really fast uphill, generate a lot of body heat till we were basically too hot to stand it. And then we hoped that after we shed our layers, we would stay warm enough if we just kept moving. And that is actually how it worked out, surprisingly. We did pick, you know, a warm-ish night for Colorado winter evening. I think it was in the low 40s or something. But, you know, as most people know, when the sun's not out, even the low 40s can be pretty cold. So, but yeah, we were very pleasantly surprised that our plan, or we were very pleasantly surprised to find that our plan actually worked. And as long as we kept moving and kept hiking uphill, we actually did generate enough body heat to stay warm. And that was actually another really cool revelation about the whole experience, was having this experience of having my body generate enough heat to keep me warm, even when I was, you know, without the help of clothing, in the middle of a winter evening. And it was just kind of like this experience made me think, wow, my body is kind of amazing. Look at what it's doing.
It's a reminder that, like, many, many eons worth of humans got around with very little or no clothing and somehow made it work.
Yeah, apparently. They kept moving, and you know, I mean, fire helps too.
All right, let's go to the phones. The number again, 1-800-933-5372. Jennifer is calling us from Dallas. Hey, Jennifer.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I was just curious on, I think it's wonderful that, you know, you went out and did that, especially with the hike at night. But I've always wanted to do that. But my fear is, like, I always worry about, like, the insects and, you know, what's going to touch my body that's not covered. How did you manage with that? Or was that even an issue?
Thanks for calling.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, that's a great question, Jennifer. I was fortunate to not have to worry too much about that because in the wintertime in Colorado, the insects are pretty dormant. So to be honest, that wasn't really a factor for us. We did worry about mountain lions, which we would worry about if we were clothed too. But we did feel, I have to say, being naked, worrying about mountain lions, you do feel a little more vulnerable to predators. I have friends who, friends from the Northeast who have done full moon mountain bike rides in the woods in the summertime. And yeah, I would imagine that bugs could be an issue there. But again, what I found is, you know, when you keep moving, as long as you're moving at a pretty decent clip, you know, bugs tend to, I guess, be too slow to try to keep up. So I think that would be my advice, is to try to find some activity where you can stay moving and stay moving at a decent pace.
You can still be naked with bug spray on too, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great point.
I would think that in some spaces where clothing is optional, nudity is tolerated, some folks who haven't done it before might wonder about the etiquette of things. Is it pretty clear immediately what to do with your eyes when you come upon a stranger? And was this something that gave you any hesitation before you went to places where other people would also be naked?
Yeah, I thought about that a lot, Chris. Okay, you know, I thought a lot about what to do with my eyes. And before I went into that hot spring, I think I just intuitively knew it's like, okay, eye contact the whole time, you know, and probably not looking below the shoulders. And I think that's, I hope that's pretty intuitive for most people, but there are, as it turns out, some fairly, like there are in any subculture, there are some kind of maybe unspoken rules, but some of those rules are also written out and fairly laid out explicitly at, you know, clothing optional resorts like Valley View, which is where I went. And, you know, some of those rules are, for example, no cell phones, for reasons that we've already addressed. You know, people don't want to be worried that you're going to be live streaming them or taking photos of them. There's, you know, kind of one of the written rules at this resort I went to was, you know, no sexually no sexually inappropriate behavior, really no sexual behavior at all around the hot springs, even with, you know, a partner. That would, for obvious reasons, make other people uncomfortable when you're unclothed. I mean, those were, I think, probably the two biggest rules. I guess implicit in that second rule is, you know, just to treat people with respect and not make other people uncomfortable. But yeah, no phones, no sexual behavior, and be respectful of others.
I completely understand the no phones rule, although that would be a solution if you don't know what to do with your eyes. You know, we do it in regular exchanges, too, when we're not quite sure what to say. We look at our phones, but I can understand why that can't be something in these places.
Yeah, I found myself looking a lot at the trees and at the nature.
What a beautiful bird. So would you describe this as a bonding experience with your girlfriends that went on this hike with you?
Yeah, it really was. It was, you know, it was a really memorable experience. It was not something any of us had ever done, let alone done with one another. And it was funny. We kind of, there was a lot of giggling. There were, you know, a lot of jokes. But other than that, it was kind of fun. And again, like, at the risk of sounding cheesy, it was really heartwarming. It meant a lot to me that they were willing to do this with me, to have this experience that could have been really socially and physically uncomfortable. And it's something that we'll remember for years, you know. And I think this kind of harkens back to this first question you asked me about at the start of our interview, which was about memories. And, you know, Dan, my partner, had this memory of running on the beach naked. People would tell me their memories of skiing naked or riding naked or hiking naked. And, you know, it's like, that was part of it, was, you know, when you're not, you know, just soaking naked in a hot spring to relax or for practical reasons, or, you know, to feel good about your body, like, there's something to be said for creating memorable experiences with people you care about. And, you know, the things that we do that are a little out of the ordinary are the things that we'll remember years from now. And I'm very grateful to have that memory with them.
So is it your sense, Gloria, that becoming comfortable with your own body, being unclothed outdoors, is that a binary, like, you couldn't do it and now you can and you always will? Or do you feel like it's something you'll have to kind of relearn every time you want to do this again?
You know, it's interesting. I thought it was going to be the latter. I thought that, you know, if I was naturally not comfortable with this, that, yeah, like, it would kind of stick with me and I might have to relearn it over and over. But to be honest, I feel like it was a little bit of a switch that flipped, you know. And actually, the researcher I spoke to, Dr. Keon West, said that was what they kind of found in their study, was at least it took only a single interaction, just a single experience of being nude in a non-sexual setting for people to immediately experience more body positivity, better self-esteem. And I sort of extrapolate that a little bit to infer that, you know, a single experience can change how you feel about being nude. It can change how you think about bodies, including your own body, in a longer lasting way than we think. And the way he kind of described it was being nude in front of others is a little bit like public speaking, you know, and it's something where if you don't have a lot of experience with it, you just might imagine that it's really uncomfortable or really scary. But once you do try it, you realize like, oh, or the, you know, it's not as scary as I think, or I can do this. And then the more practice you get at it, of course, the more comfortable you get. So yeah, I'm sure that the more I do it, the more comfortable I'm going to get. But I would say that, you know, just the short period of time that I did try it, I think has had a long lasting effect on me. And I'm generally more comfortable with, you know, either whether it's quickly changing in a parking lot after a bike ride, or, you know, just being like, hey, I'm going to jump into this lake naked, or jump into this hot spring naked. I don't think I'd hesitate to do it again.
I think there might be a lot of people out there who just never considered that this sort of thing might be a possibility, might feel good, might be something they'd enjoy. Do you have ideas for people who think they want to try this but aren't quite sure how to get themselves to the place where it's possible?
Yeah, I mean, I actually think I would recommend the way that I went about it, which was to find a place that sanctions it, you know, a clothing optional resort. And even those, I mean, from doing my own browsing around, there's a lot of differences between various resorts or nude beaches. And so I say I would find one that kind of culturally feels comfortable to you. So the place where I went, it's called Valley View Hot Springs in Southern Colorado, and it's a clothing optional hot spring resort. And in a lot of ways, it reminds me of a lot of the wilderness hot springs I've been to. You know, it's a very, in that sense, familiar environment and familiar culture to me. So being there was quite natural for me. And I think I would encourage people to find safe places like that, that also feel natural to them. And I mean, maybe that's, you know, a nude beach is a fairly obvious answer. Many of us have been to beaches. Many of us are used to wearing bathing suits on beaches. So perhaps it's not so much of a leap to be nude on a beach where, you know, everybody else is nude.
When you say that this helped you sort of believe the world was good and restored your faith in other people, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was interesting. So my experiment happened in January and February, early this year. The pandemic had been going on for almost 2 years at that point. And I think, like many people, had spent less time interacting with strangers in the past 2 years than I was used to. And I'd sort of turned a little bit inward, I think, you know, like, and, you know, this has been written about in other media outlets about how wearing masks and also just social distancing made us less apt to start random conversations with strangers, you know? And I think because of that, and also because, you know, like there's a lot of the news cycle is kind of rough. And I was just kind of developing a sort of cynicism. And I just wasn't interacting with other people, with strangers as much as I used to. And, you know, coming to this place, and being so literally, again, unarmored and vulnerable, and sort of being forced to interact with strangers. Like, again, I couldn't, like you said, I couldn't look down at my phone to avoid an awkward social interaction. I had to talk to people, and we're all vulnerable, and we're all in the same natural state. And it led to these like really wonderful conversations with people. And like, I felt like I was like reconnecting with other people again. And yeah, it did restore some of my faith in humanity. It felt really good.
Gloria Liu is a freelance journalist whose recent essay for Outside Magazine is titled One Woman's Wholesome Mission to Get Naked Outside. Gloria, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thanks for making time for us.
Likewise, Chris. Thank you so much for having me on.
You can like our page on Facebook, on Twitter. We're at KERA Think. Please subscribe to our podcast wherever you get podcasts. Once again, I'm Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.